Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Now we're studying kind of like the basic 101 of Christianity. Excuse me while I get a drink. Talking about spiritual things. Everybody say spiritual things. You know, when you come to church, you ought to learn about spiritual things. So much of denominational ministry has gone to psychology these days. It don't work. People need the Holy Ghost, amen. So we've been looking at spiritual things, and we've been looking at how the Spirit of God abides and empowers. And we got over on the baptism of the Holy Ghost a little bit last week, so I thought I'd pick up on that tonight. I am writing our classes for our School of the Spirit that will begin in April. That's going to be awesome. And I think I've written five classes so far. Six on my sixth one. And so some of this, you know, I'm studying out and looking at. But you need to pray in the Holy Ghost every day. We had Mark and Victoria Bowling here this weekend, and she was telling Leah a dream she had years ago in which I was in her dream. And I was on a ladder. Was I way up on a ladder looking down at her, and I looked down at her and said, what did I say? You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, she was handing me tools. I was doing something, and what did I say?
You need to pray in the Holy Ghost a lot.
A lot, yeah. Yeah, I said it to her twice. So she said, I started praying in the Holy Ghost a lot, and she said, I needed it, and thank God. But, you know, the Word of God is the preeminent force of power in your life, because it sets the perimeters, it sets the boundaries, it shows you, and it also gives you the liberty. Amen. But you have to have the Spirit. The Bible says it's the letter that killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And if all we ever do is expound on the Word of God, well, that's well and good, but people need moves of the Spirit. Not only personally do you need, you know, that I like to call it that presence that you're aware of, but when you come to church, you should be refreshed. You know, not by some program or some, you know, because that they all run their course. Most of man's programs run their course, and their effectiveness runs out. Amen. But this has been proven for centuries to work right here. You say what? Teaching the Word of God. The Bible talks about in the last days that men and women will not endure sound teaching. And so we see that. A lot of people just, you know, they kind of wait till they're in the crisis of life. But, you know, we trust that in the end time, God will afford people an opportunity, an open door. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, God, you're so powerful, and you can do so much. Why doesn't this thing just break open? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, narrow is the way. He said, it's a narrow way. It's not a wide path. He said, narrow is the way. You know, I begin to become very aware of a lot. There's a lot of people not going to make it. There's a lot of people that when all this happens, then life will revert back in so many weeks or months, however it takes, and then they'll just go back to whatever normal may be then, and then all of what's going to happen, the drama of what's going to happen in those 7 years is just going to overwhelm them. It's going to be horrible. As tormented, as depressed, as fearful as they are now, just think of what it's going to be like when a bunch of people disappear. Boom, they're gone. Amen? You know, I talk about all these people crossing the border, and I've always thought, well, praise God, maybe we get an opportunity to evangelize the world. God just bring them to us. Maybe God's replacing the church. You ever think about that? Because when we're gone, we're going to be gone. I mean, like, they'll be back Wednesday night. No, they won't. They're not coming back for 7 years. Amen? Glory to God. So let's look at some of these spiritual things, because, you know, more and more, that needs to be our focus, because as the dramas of this world get more and more, how would you say that, Lord? No, I had a good word there. Let me find it again. Not supernatural. If it's not supernatural, what do we call it? I had it right on the edge of my brain and it fell off. That's what happens when you get tired. But sensational, there's my word, praise God. It's the things that become more and more sensational grab your attention. Just grab your attention. I was driving home from South Texas the other day. I'd been praying a little bit. So I turned on the news. I wanted to hear what was going on. There was some weather moving in. And there was this trial going on. I listened to it for about 15 minutes. I thought, I shouldn't be listening to this. And I found me some preaching on the radio station out of Corpus Christi. Amen. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, especially in this day and this hour. The enemy is very, very deceptive. Well, Isaiah 28, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. He's talking about people that are growing up. Everybody say, I'm growing up. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now he's talking about what? How many know what he's talking? What's the subject of this? It's the word. He's talking about the line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, I'm going to tell you something that really helped me in Bible school is when Brother Osteen taught us that the Bible is progressive revelation. You can't go into the book of Job and form doctrine. You can't do that with the books of the old covenant. They're not given to us. That's not our doctrine. What it is, it's given for our example. But let me tell you this. 3/4 of everything the Apostle Paul wrote were already written. They were already written. Jesus did not come to do away with the law. See, that's something you've got to understand. He came to complete or fulfill it. So it's not that we've lost something. No, we've got a better covenant based on better promises. Amen. Now, here it says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's the way revelation flows. A lady that I sat under her ministry for many years, Mama Ward, she would always use this scripture to talk about, don't be in a hurry. Appreciate what you have. Revelation knowledge that you have, take care of it. Value it. Speak it out. Thank God for it. Use it against your adversary. Then God will bring you a little further down the line. In the New Covenant, we say it like this, from faith to faith, glory to glory. You should not live a life from tragedy to tragedy, trial to trial. You should live a life from faith to faith, glory to glory. Amen? That's the plan of God for your life. Then it says this. Now listen, very interesting, because here's a switch in the next verse. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, this is literally, now we could talk about the different ways these prophetic books are, quote, interpreted. But we don't interpret the Word of God. We rightly divide it. That's what it says in the book of Timothy, that we should study to show ourselves approved, workmen unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, so we need not be ashamed. Amen? Now, this scripture right here is showing us plainly that there would be a time coming that line upon line upon line, precept upon precept, the revelation that God wanted the earth to have would be completed. We have the completed volume of scripture that we need. This takes us through the millennial reign of Christ. You understand that? This volume, this power source right here takes us through, it literally takes us through what's fixing to happen the next 7 years and then 1,000 years. Can you imagine what that's going to? There's not going to be any governments ruling the earth. There's not going to be any elections of presidents. There's not going to be any kings or queens. There's going to be one ruler of the world. Come on, church. There's going to be one ruler of the world, and there's going to be one ruling body. I'll just let you think about that for a little while and think about whether you want to serve God or not. Amen? Somebody say, I'm going to run for office. Not me. I'm going to get me one. Jesus is going to give me an office, amen? He's already given me one in this dispensation. I'm sure he's got one for the next. Now, he's speaking here of a time that will come. Isaiah was a what? Prophet, seer, foreteller. So he's combining these two realities of the Word of God, progressive revelation, amen? Progressive revelation and what? Stammering lips? Another tongue? They had no concept. They had no idea. What's he talking about? Well, they knew. Look, I like what one minister, he described these prophetic men as looking down these tubes of time and seeing, like Isaiah, he saw both comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the first coming, called it the acceptable year of the Lord. He saw the second coming and called it the day of his vengeance. Amen? I mean, the day of his vengeance, my goodness. That's that battle that'll take place when God comes, when Jesus comes back to the earth with us. Well, we don't want to get into that, amen? We'll let Joe come and teach us on that. For with stammering lips, everybody say, stammering lips and another tongue. Now, I've known people, I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost and just get stammering lips. I mean, their lips just move. And in fact, sometimes they can't control it. Amen? Well, if that happens to you, then go on with it. You say, what do you mean? Develop that into a language. A lot of people don't understand that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the entrance into the spiritual house. Now, the new birth is what builds the spiritual house, but when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have an entrance into it. And understanding even this scripture right here, how the Word of God works in tandem with the Spirit of God to bring forth the will of God in your life. Let me try that again. The Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Listen, you guys have been coming long enough here. You should have a doctrine already. If somebody was come up to you and say, what do you believe? You could tell them. Well, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the living God. I believe in the Heavenly Father and heaven itself, who loves me so much that He sent His Son Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit who comes to abide and to empower me. I believe in prayer. I believe in the church. I believe in evangel. I mean, you could just go off on them, because everything you would say would have scriptural reference, be backed up in the Word of God. Amen. Now, go if you will. Go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go dig around in 1 Corinthians 14 a little bit. Now, praying in the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you are baptized in the Spirit, now I'm a stickler on this because I kind of got caught in this trap. Many times people are ministered to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hands are laid upon them. I know those who have received on their own. You know, they're driving down the road and just started praying in tongues, you know. But for the most part, people are ministered to, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, that begins as an experience. At the altar, at the kids' camp, wherever it was, wherever you are, you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody lays hands on you, prays for you, you feel an unction, you begin to yield to that. Now, once that happens, it's kind of like salvation. If you get born again and you say, well, I'm saved, so, and you just go back out the door and go live like you used to live, well, that's an indication that you might not have really believed in your heart, even though you said with your mouth. Now, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and that Spirit of God comes, the Holy Ghost does not come and speak through you. Actually, He comes and speaks to you. He gives you what the Bible calls an utterance. Everybody say utterance. Or an utterance. Everybody say utterance. Excuse me. An utterance or an unction. Everybody say unction. Now, yielding to that is just like, think about this. As a child, you did not begin to speak whatever was your native tongue fluently. Neither did your children. They begin to, you know, to gaga and goo-goo and all that stuff. Amen. I just remember, never mind, I won't tell that story. It was a good one. But anyway, you know, I mean, you don't have a language, you just have sounds, you're just making sounds. But eventually, you know, there's the first word. Wow, they said their first word, wow, you know. But then, you know, if that's the only word they ever say, you kind of get a little worried. But then they say another word, then they say another word, then they say another word. And then they usually go through a phase in which they've learned their words and they won't shut up. You ever notice that? I remember Breland, she was like that for a couple of years. And we went flounder fishing, Leah and I and Breland and Alan. And so we're out there fishing. And Leah and I sat at the back of the boat and listened to Breland teach Alan how to flounder fish. She just chewed on his ear the whole time. It was beautiful. But the point is, now that you're 25, 35, 55, 95, whatever you are, you have now developed a language that you're comfortable with, that you can speak. The same thing is true of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. So when you come down and you receive that initial infilling of the Spirit, There's so much that comes with it. It's a package deal just like salvation. Number one, you get a new ability to worship God with. Because none of us, and none, I mean, if you spoke 40 languages, you still wouldn't have enough words to worship Him with. Amen? So you get a new worship tool. A new worship tool. Secondly, you get a new prayer tool. Wow! We've heard people call it their prayer language. Amen? You need to develop a prayer language. You need to develop a prayer language that you're as comfortable speaking as you speak your native language. Amen. And you need to develop in that prayer language so that you have understandings. Now, you don't need an interpretation every time you pray. God will give you interpretations when you need it, but you'll have an understanding. I know when I'm praying for certain things, I know it in my spirit, and I'll get hooked up with the Holy Spirit and pray that thing out. You can always tell when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it comes from down here. You can say a word you don't know out of your mouth, but the Holy Ghost, it comes from down here. And when you get it, if you've ever been in deep prayer intercession, sometimes it almost bends me over. I've had times when it's bent me over in prayer and intercession because it was so strong. Amen? You say, well, that's never happened to me. Well, it needs to. Because that's part of the intimacy that God has for you that He wants you to enter into so that you can flow in the spiritual things that He has for you and not be deceived in these last days. Amen. Listen, I've got to get you ready to go up. And I can't get you ready to go up if you're not here. I'm not going to let the devil steal you. Amen. Now look here in verse. Let's just start in verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now notice this. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Everybody say God. Now that right there tells you that, you know, you're not just beating the bush or doing something that's, you know, some repetitive thing that doesn't have any meaning at all. No, when you're speaking in tongues, when you're praying in an unknown tongue or when you're speaking, you're talking to God. I said you're talking to God. Amen. Now that is scriptural, so you can have faith for that. I ought to get a better amen. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. One translation says unrevealed revelations. Did you know when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying revelation that you might not have caught in your mind or in your intellect yet? Have you ever had something, now listen, this has happened to me several times. Have you ever had something happen to you, you knew it was God, you knew it was supernatural, you knew it was spiritual, but you didn't have any scriptural reference for it? Then a few months or a few weeks or a few years later, you found scriptural reference or somebody was teaching something, all of a sudden you know, that's what happened to me. You know why it happened? You were praying in the Spirit. You were praying in the Holy Ghost. You got the experience before you got the Word. So I don't believe that's right. No, no. They got the experience before they got the Word. Amen. But that means you need to stay a stickler for the Word, because if God gives you the experience, He trusts you to stay with the Word till you get the Scripture for it. Amen. Lee and I just had an unction. I'd been praying in the Holy Ghost. We were believing God for finances. We were newly married. I think we'd been married about 4 years. God was blessing us and blessing our ministry, blessing her business. And I just began, I told Leah, I said, I just feel like we need to speak over every offering. So we'd do it. We'd join hands and we'd pray over our tithes. We'd pray, we'd speak over our offerings. Then we were in a camp meeting and we were on the second row, and sitting on the first row right in front of us was Brother Jerry Savelle and Brother Kenneth Copeland. And so they were taking the offering, and so I was not really trying to eavesdrop, but you could hear them talk. And Brother Copeland said, Jerry, give me some cash. Jerry Savelle reached in his pocket and pulled out about $500 and handed it to Brother Copeland. He said, now agree with me. And so they put their hands together and they began to speak the Word of God. Well, later that night, I was able to be in a fellowship place with them. And so I went to Brother Copeland and I said, Brother Copeland, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, why did you do that? He said, why did I do what? I said, why did you, when they took the offering, why did you join hands with Brother Savelle and why did y'all speak over the Word? He says, go to the Word. He said, go to the Word. Now, you know how he is. And he showed me every offering that God required of Israel. He said, bring that offering and say over your tithe, over your offering, doctrine and say, see, we had experienced that, but we hadn't got the revelation of it. Then when we were in that meeting, we got the revelation. See, that's how God will do you. Because you're praying revelation, unrevealed to you, revelation. So you're I've had that before where I sense there's something there. I'm not getting it, something there. And then the prayer meeting be over or something. Well, I come back and hook up with it the next time. Sometimes it takes two or three times of laboring in the Spirit. That's proof God's wanting to say something to you, break something through to you, reveal something to you, or manifest something in your life. Oh, it pays to serve God, church. Amen. Let's see. Go to verse 14. There's a lot in this chapter. We may dig around in it a little bit, though, before we... It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, it prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Amen. Now, here's the mind issue. It takes some time, church, but I think it'll take you less time than it took me. How many pray in the Spirit, and when you do... One of the biggest hindrances to you praying in the Spirit is what's going on in your mind. You've got stuff going through your mind, going through your mind, going through your mind. Well, you're going to have to stop that. You're going to have to stop that. One of the best ways to do that is to just get Scripture in your mind. I do it. I've got all these confessions I make. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I've already done it for so long, they automatically begin to roll in my mind. They just start rolling. Prosperity scriptures, healing scriptures, redemption scriptures, the scriptures about the Word. I mean, they just start rolling in my mind. Now listen, it's an effort sometimes to do that. I know one guy, he took a cassette tape player and just put it in the ears of the Bible, just running while he prayed in the Holy Ghost. I know other people that they used to just put on scriptures being read, you know, over the sound system, whatever they had in their house. And as they prayed in the Holy Ghost, those scriptures, because you can connect to something that you hear. See, that's what I would do. I'd go in those hotel rooms where I used to travel. I don't know how many of those little cassette things. What were they called? Walkmans. I must have had 100 Walkmans. I usually left them somewhere is what I did. But I had those Walkmans. Man, I had all my tapes. I had my worship tapes. I had my Kenneth Hagin tapes. I had all my tapes I listened to. And I'll tell you, I'd walk into hotel rooms and I'd go, whoa, okay. Because, you know, people leave atmospheres. Amen. And I'd go, well, you know, here's what I'll do. I'm going to put this on, and I'll be back in a little bit, you know. And it'd change that atmosphere. You say, all right, that's flaky. No, I'm telling you, you better listen to me. I'm telling you stuff that's real. Amen. So, when you pray, everybody say, when I pray, in an unknown tongue. Now, notice this. I like that. Let me read it amplified. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Now, did you get that? Now, let me help you. We've talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a physical miracle. God disconnects your tongue from everything in your life, your intellect, all the bad things, all the good things, and hooks it to your human spirit. Amen? That is the essence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then in your human spirit, He gives you an utterance or an unction. You grab hold of that, then you give Him the rest. You say, what's the rest? Your breath, your vocal cords, your effort, your diaphragm. You push that up, push that up. Yeah, let me give you a duck hunting lesson from Outdoor Adventures in Life. Teach you how to blow a duck call or a goose call. Now, I've blown them for years. Alan, I probably blew his ear out 3 times. I could see him after hunts where he'd be going, because he'd be sitting next to me and I'd be blowing a duck call for 5 hours, you know. But I can hand you my lanyard, which has about 6 calls hanging on it, and you could pick any call and blow it and make a sound. You could make a sound. They're all tuned. They have new reeds, so you could make a sound. But if you learn how to call a live bird, you have to learn how to bring up air from your diaphragm. You don't blow with a, you don't blow. It's almost like praying in the Spirit. But my muscles are so developed in here from praying in the Holy Ghost and duck calling and surfing, because that's what all that is. You've got to understand that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it comes up out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when you call birds, when you call waterfowl, wildfowl, those are living, existing creatures, they will not respond to anything other than calls that men blow up from the inside out. Isn't that amazing? They don't respond near as well to electronics. They don't, and I'll tell you this, I've learned this over the years. They make these calls now out of these new plastics, carbon fiber plastics. You know what it does? You need wood. Most of my calls are wooden. Because there's just something about making that call sound alive. You can't blow it from your throat. You'll never do it. You've got to come. Your air has to come from here. Has to come from your... Same thing of your spirit, out of your belly. Now, notice what it says. Let me find it again. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, my spirit, my spirit. So I want the Holy Ghost to pray. No, it's your spirit. Now, here's the key. If you'll study these scriptures, and I can bring you to a few others in Romans, and we'll do that, you'll see the scriptures reveal that as the Holy Spirit takes hold together with your spirit, amen, to pray the will of God, which is the Word of God, it's synonymous, into your life. Now, I heard it illustrated, and I thought it bears repeating. If we had a heavy, well, we have a big piano back there in the back somewhere. If it was up here on the stage, if we wanted to put it on the stage, you know, Frank probably couldn't handle it by himself. So he would need Doc and Alan and me and George and some of the others to do what? To come take hold together with him, with Frank, to move the piano up there, see? So it's a what? It's a help. A help. What is the ministry of the Holy Ghost? One of his ministries? Well, he's comforter, counselor, he's standby, he's strengthener, he's intercessor, he's help. Do you ask him to help? I'm praying right now. Help me not miss the rapture. Help me not to get offended. Help me to walk in love. Help me to intercede. Come on, church, you need some help. He will take hold together with you. Amen? With you. Now, let me say this. If you will do this when it's unknown, you will grow till it's known. Amen. Listen, I don't know. It's kind of strange, especially when you've been around a move of God. Let me ask you, Sunday, when you left the church. Wasn't it kind of surreal out there? You're just kind of, I wanted to come back to church. I thought I'd just go back and lay in my office a while, you know. That's because we were in the presence of God. The spiritual, now that presence is in you. That presence is in you. That's that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So be willing to do it in the unknown till it becomes known. Unrevealed till it becomes revealed. That's why praying in the Holy Ghost is so important. Now let me finish with this. I'm doing good. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, it prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So we were talking about helping your understanding not to hinder your prayer life. Now, praying in, now notice what it says before I get ahead of myself. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. There's your key. Keep praying the Word in between praying and the Holy Ghost. When your mind wanders, start praying the Word. You know the Word? You know Scriptures? Can you recite some Scriptures? Praise God, you start praying in the Holy Ghost. You pray 5 or 6 minutes. All of a sudden, here comes all these thoughts. So you just stop. Thank you, Father, for your mighty word. Oh, thank you that the entrance of your word, it brings light and life to me. Forever, oh Lord, your word is set. It won't be long. The Holy Ghost will kick back in. That utterance will rise back up. You'll press back in. Amen. Now, if you want to, I've done it. If you want to go pray 3 or 4 hours in the Holy Ghost, you better get ready. You say, why? I'm telling you, it will do something. You will experience it. That's why you have to be so careful with spiritual things. Because the devil will always try to sensationalize what is in the spirit when God wants to keep it at a supernatural level. Amen. That's where you get all kind of goofy stuff going on, man. We saw a bunch of that the last 40 years. Amen. So, pray. Everybody say pray. Pray in tongues, your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to understand, this is God working with you to get His will accomplished. Now, think about that. This is God working with you to get His will accomplished, not just in your life, but in the earth. Praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, makes you aware of your human spirit. You're very aware of your flesh. Amen? I mean, if you had to sit there another hour, you'd get even more aware of your flesh. We're very aware. Let me say it like this. We're very conscious of our flesh. We're very conscious of our soul, our mind, the way we think, our emotions, the way we feel, and the choice. We're very conscious of that. But what the new birth is the awakening of the human spirit. It awakens unto righteousness. It awakens unto holiness. It awakens unto redemption. Woo! So God wants you what? Conscious of your human spirit. He wants you to know the real you. And one of the ways you get to know the real you is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Because then when God speaks to you, He knows how to speak to you. He knows He can speak to you in such a way that He sounds like a father. Nobody speaks to you like your father. Amen. And I believe God is wanting to speak more and more and more to us in volume to protect us, to keep us safe, to show us things to come, and to help us navigate the troubled waters of the days ahead so that we can be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Amen? I don't know if I've got time. Okay, let's close it with this. Go to Romans. I've got 4 minutes. You know what it means when a preacher talks about time? Absolutely nothing. Romans chapter 8. Now, we've said this before, but I'm telling you, repetition is what gets it in your heart. Now, notice there in verse 20. Oh, what is it? 28. 26, excuse me. Likewise, the Spirit, now notice that capital S, also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, now King James says itself, I always scratch that out and write himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now the word groaning is the word glossolalia. Now, that's the way I pronounce it because I can't pronounce it any better. I'm sure there's somebody who can say it in Greek better than I can. But it's literally talking about an unknown, unlearned, unarticulated by you language given to you by the Spirit of God. And there is, what does he say? Groaning. What do you groan from? Do you groan from your throat? You ever notice that? You groan from your belly. You groan from your belly. You know, my grandmother, she was one of those 4 or 5 hour a day prayers, intercessors. My mother was the same way. And I would see them do that. I would just freak out. I would like, man, what is that all about? And they would groan. They'd bend over and groan. They'd lay on the floor and groan. But, you know, they were praying out things for their family for years to come. They're not here. They're in heaven. But the fruit of what they prayed out is here. Amen? Now notice, those groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And what do we say about the will of God? It's the Word of God. And the will of God and the Word of God are synonymous. Amen? No such thing as the will of God outside of the Word of God. And the Word of God outside of the will of God. It's all the same. It's all one. So you're praying the Word of God and the will of God into existence. Man, that's cool. What a tool. Then here comes the key scripture. One of the most misused Bible verses in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them. Who's them? Notice, who's them? Now notice, that love God to them that are called according to His purpose. Okay, what's His purpose? Likewise, the Spirit Himself, amen, helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That is the will of God. That is the will of God. And God wants us to pray according to His purpose. That's why He wants us to pray in the Holy Ghost. So that the will of God. I told those testimonies about me traveling to all those churches and going there and preaching so many different messages. And all those pastors saying, well, why did you preach that in my church? How did you know to preach that? I didn't. The Holy Ghost showed me. I did some crazy things. Man, I'd go in. I mean, there was probably more than a half a dozen, maybe 7 or 8 times. When I'd go into a church on a Sunday morning to start a Sunday through Wednesday meeting, and on Sunday morning I thought, oh my goodness, I should have stayed home from this one. And I knew I was in a fight for 3 days. I was in a 3-day battle to save that church, to help that church, to do something in that church to bring change so it wouldn't be destroyed. And I'd go to lunch with a pastor on Sunday and say, look, I'll eat with you again on Wednesday, but something needs to change in this church. And man, I've seen some things that God would do, unreal things, just totally rearranged. I think he had some physical problems, but they've come for many years to our Fall Harvest conference. Bob and Eileen Jane. She's from England, so I always tell her Eileen. But they heard me in a camp meeting in Corpus in the early 90s. And they pastored a Pentecostal Church of God church. Pentecostal Church of God they're an offshoot of the AGs. They're all the old AG guys that got divorced. Because if you're an AG, you get divorced, you go to hell. So, you know, not really, but you can't be in ministry. So they just formed another denomination. Well, anyway, that church was 80 years old. They had taken the pastor and been pastored for 7 years. They sang out of the hymnals of praise. It was literally like stepping back 30 years in the move of God. So I just got in there they didn't even want to schedule 2 services a day. They just did Sunday through Wednesday. So I just taught on faith, just simple faith, just like I'd teach it here. You know, line up on line. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. At the end, that Wednesday night, I turned it back over to Bob. He got up in his pulpit with tears running down his face. He's a big man, real big man. And he said, I've preached against this message all of my ministry. That's what he said in front of his church. He says, now this is what we're going to believe. And in 3 years, there were 600 people in that church. And they had built a building and paid for it. You know why? I taught them faith and taught them to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? I mean, I don't take any credit for what God did, all of that, but somebody had to tell them. But he got hungry, see? There in those meetings in Corpus Christi, he saw something. He heard something. He knew God was doing something in the midst of that. But see, I didn't know he was there. And man, did I know what to do when I went there the first time? I had no idea what to do. Just teach on faith. Well, Lord, these people won't receive that. And a lot of them, you could tell, they look like if you've ever seen cattle that got some bad hay and there was a bunch of briars and that, start chewing on that stuff, and they got their look on their, that's what they look like trying to chew on that stuff. They'd get up every night and sing 2 songs out of the hymnals of praise, and half the church wouldn't even stand up. 3 years later, they're running the aisles. Yeah. Amen. Line up on line, precept upon precept. Hear a little, there a little. Stammering lips in another tongue. I'll speak unto this people. This is the refreshing that will cause the weary to rest. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, for your Spirit in manifestation in our lives, for that which He does in us, through us, for us. We worship and glorify you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember the words of Peter in the book of Acts. Before that scripture where it says, save yourself from a wicked and untoward generation. He said, this is that was received from the Father of Jesus and has been poured out on you today. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is physical proof of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the devil fights it so hard. That's why he fights it so hard in your life. And that's why any person that ever dares to pray in the Holy Ghost better guard their heart and guard their life, because the enemy will do everything he could do to destroy them. But the problem with that is if you learn who you are in Christ and learn your authority, there ain't nothing he can do to fool you. You know to walk in love. You know to stay unoffended. You know to stay away from poison that draws you away from the move of God. And you know how to walk in love toward all people. To forgive and forget. Everybody say forgive and forget. And to be a blessing in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Glory to God. Hey, don't forget. Wait. Okay, praise God. So we're going to be missing some prayer warriors tomorrow night. So some of you need to come and make up the slack. Amen? We have some ladies that will be missing. So you need to be here and help us pray this wonderful thing out that God is doing here at Island Church. Amen? Isn't that cool? Praise God. We got numbers on all of our media ministry. Man, I'm amazed at how many people are watching us in the media. And it's going to get even more and more than that once we launch Outdoor Adventures in Faith and we begin to do Bible school on the internet. That's all going to be live streamed. Wow. God is moving. Thank God he's moving in your life. Amen. Father, we thank you for protection and safety. Lord, as we leave tonight, we claim Psalms 91. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh our dwelling. Angels have charge over us. Father, we thank you in our travels, the highways, airways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are protected and kept by your mighty word of faith. Thank you, Lord. The labor of our hands, our students, our teachers, our contractors, those that work in retail, our business owners, we call them blessed, protected, and increased in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of evangelism in our hearts. Let us not miss a single opportunity every day to be a blessing to people, a problem to the devil, a bearer of the name of Jesus, the good news, the gospel. Let us be a miracle in someone's life. Lord, we leave tonight walking in faith and love towards you. We leave tonight walking in love toward one another. Thanking you, Lord, that we are the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. That here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah.